Well, tonight we're going back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. It's a privilege again to open up God's Word and study this together. I know some of you have driven long, long ways to get here. That is actually, my parents' in-laws are here from Lake Tahoe, so thanks for coming. Well, we're looking at the spiritual battlefield within. That's the title this evening, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Let us go ahead and read the passage. Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Let us pray. Father, we come before you this evening thankful for your word. And we do pray and ask that you would help us to see these truths, these realities. That we who are Christians, Lord, we would truly understand what it means to walk by the Spirit, and that we would not gratify the desires of the flesh, that we would fight them. I pray that for those who are not saved here this evening, that you would open their eyes to see the glories of Christ, to see the amazing reality of being a Christian, what it means, and even the comfort that you give to us, the promises that we receive from you, even in this passage. So, Father, help me to proclaim your word with clarity, and I pray for each one of us here, those who hear, that we would be attentive and obey your word, not be hearers only, but doers as well. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Well, would you believe me if I told you that Christian life is an easy thing? It's full of abundance, health, wealth, prosperity. I hope tomatoes are not, you know, flying yet. You know, so many people start so well in their Christian life. So many people, they have a great beginning. See, the reason why we have so many people who make a shipwreck out of their life, they end up destroying their life, in a sense, is the lack of this kind of teaching in the churches. See, Christian life is a constant battlefield. The problem is that we forget that we're in a spiritual battlefield. Our attitude becomes, you know, all about comfort. The mentality is ease. I just want to relax, just coast. And then we forget that this is not our home. We start being comfortable. We start living here. We forget the idea, how many of you read The Pilgrim's Progress? There's always progress. We need to continue. We're on this journey, going through valleys, going through different things in life. This is not our home. Often we don't understand where to fight, where our fight is, or how to fight the battles before us. And there is a danger for each one of us to coast and to think, well, we could just make it. We'll be all right. But we only grow as we battle. That's how we grow. We are fighting battles. And we need to understand we're fighting battles in this life, though the war, the ultimate war, has been won by Christ. I love that song that we've just been singing, that in Christ we have this freedom. We have received the gospel, the glories of Christ, because he died on a cross to conquer death. Or sting, where is your victory? So there's no more fear, there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ. But at the same time, we as Christians, we're still living in this flesh. We're still living in this world, in this evil world. Paul says in Galatians 1, for this present evil age. How do we get delivered from this present evil age, from the pressures from within, from the pressures from without? Well, there is a danger, and so we must understand that the battle wages in the hearts of believers. This is where the battle takes place. And we must fight with an understanding that Christ has victory. He has won the war, but we still have to fight. And this passage really talks about that. How do you live in the freedom of justification by grace through faith alone? Paul's been answering this question. how do you avoid Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, when he's saying, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you? How do you avoid being a foolish Galatian-like? Those who began by the Spirit but now are being perfected by the flesh. How do you avoid that? How do you avoid the slavery? And maybe moreover, how do you live this life of love? As Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, walk in the freedom, he says. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use this freedom for an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So how is it possible that we could actually fulfill the law? And how in the world? What is the secret, Paul? What is the secret of holiness? What is the secret of power in the Christian life? Well, the secret is right here. It's walking by the Spirit. Sounds simple enough. Holiness is produced by the Holy Spirit. See, there is a connection between that. So you must do that God's way. God commends us for holiness and spiritual freedom. And it's also not without his power. Fulfill it in and through us. So the author of the law, I love this amazing truth that the author of the law, the Old Testament, the author, the Holy Spirit, is now abides in the believers. And if he lives inside of you, he could fulfill those things that he has told us to. And so as we approach this passage, verses 16 through 18, walking in the Spirit enables believers to triumph over the flesh and over the law, the legalistic, trying to live your life to obey God, that kind of legalistic law-keeping. So both legalism and license are disarmed here. Again, legalism is trying to achieve righteousness by doing good things, thinking you could get to God by your own goodness. And license, just living however you want, thinking, well, Christ has paid it all, so I can just do whatever I want. Both of those are disarmed in this passage, as you will see. And next time we will look at more closely at marks of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit. So that's why we're not dealing with that, because there's so much here as well. So we'll wait another time to look at the individual marks of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit. But these Galatians, they were walking in the flesh. They were biting, Paul says. They were biting and devouring one another. He says, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But then he says, but I say walk by the Spirit. Paul is saying there is another way to live. Walk in love by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now how? That's what we're going to be talking tonight about this whole issue. So in the midst of legalism and antinomianism, Christians must exercise their freedom through obedience, by walking by the Spirit, and by waging war with their flesh. So therefore, fight for true freedom to walk and yield and submit to the Spirit, not the flesh. Fight for this freedom. There is this call for us to fight. God has set you free to obey, not disobey. To obey him through the Spirit, by the Spirit's leading, as you will see. So in Galatians 5:16 through 18, God is the one who is, through the Apostle Paul, exhorts us to walk in the Spirit. And in our passage, the preacher points our attention in two directions. First, that reveal God's command with the promise. And then second, so the first point that we're going to see is the command. We must submit to the Holy Spirit in order to conquer the flesh. And then second, the conflict. We must submit to the Holy Spirit because the battle is constant. So let's look at first the command. We must submit to the Holy Spirit in order to conquer the flesh. Again, listen. But I say, walk by the Spirit. This is the exhortation he gives. But then he says, the result is that you will not, or that's a promise, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So what does it mean to walk by the Spirit, you might be asking? Well, that means in all of your life, to live by the Spirit, to submit to him, to yield to the Spirit, to follow the Spirit, to obey the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. Let me ask you, who's at the wheel? Who's holding the wheel in your life? Are you the one who's controlling everything? Or are you yielding yourself to God, to the Spirit? We follow the locomotive. We're not our own personal race cars where we're just driving and competing with each other. Who's going to win the race? No, we're actually joined into this locomotive who's taking us somewhere. And he's obviously taking us to be more like Christ. He's conforming us to the image of Christ, to glorify God in all things. And you must be connected to him. You must go where he's going. And that's the idea of being led by the Spirit. Paul clarifies later on as well in verse 18. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So it's moment by moment to be guided by the Holy Spirit. This is the whole idea of the new covenant. The new covenant provides this for us, where God sends his Spirit to now live inside of us, and we're able to obey his commands. We don't even need anyone to teach us. We already know exactly what's right, what's wrong, because the Spirit is in us. He's the one who helps us. So as believers, there are two ways to live. There's a way to live in the flesh or by the Spirit. And again, this idea of walk by the Spirit, it's the present tense imperative, which means it's a command. It's habitual, continual walking. You're in a direction that's going after someone. You're moving forward. There is a progress in your life. You either live by the power and direction of the Holy Spirit or the flesh. And when we are talking about the flesh, I mean, you either live by the law or without the law, but it's all of your flesh, not relying on the Spirit of God. So which one are you living by? Do you live by the law, or do you live by the Spirit? Do you live your life through the Spirit? A good example of this would be a dog. How many of you like dogs here? Anyone like cats? Sorry, cats wouldn't work. That example wouldn't work. But with dogs, you've probably seen different scenarios with dogs. There's dogs that have to be always on the leash, and you might have seen people walking the dog, and the dog is trying to jerk you and go everywhere. That's kind of like the person under the law. He's always has to be jerked back because he goes everywhere. He's trying to run away, so you have to really hold him on. There's another scenario where a dog could be without a leash, and I grew up with this kind of dog that he would just show up at our house, we would feed him, we would pat him, we would love him. But then whenever he would want, he would just get away and just go, you know, live his life for a few months and stuff and get into fights and do his own thing. Comes back whenever he wants, but just kind of that kind of dog, this freedom. You know, he's living, he end up dead. But this is the idea of, you know, without the law, just living, doing whatever you want, come when you please, go when you please. And then there's a third, I'm sure you've seen this scenario, where a person walks out from their house and the dog is actually running right in front of him or right with him. And as soon as the master says, all right, let's go this way, the dog follows. The dog is always there. The master is not afraid. He's not supposed to put a chain on him. No, there's this love amongst them. And so we see that the dog loves his masters, and when you call him, he follows him. So I know it kind of sounds strange. What kind of a dog are you? Our life's controlled by the Spirit to be like this good dog. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've seen these professional musicians who pick up a violin or some kind of an instrument, and then they play this beautiful music, and then they ask, how much do you think this violin costs? And people thinking that's such an amazing instrument, but then he breaks it and he just tells you this is like a piece of junk, kind of a dinky instrument. And just the idea of what this person can make something so bad sound so beautiful because he knows the instrument. He's a meister in what he does. And this is the way we're supposed to see that we are just these dinky instruments in God's hand who could be producing music, beautiful music for him. So here we find that Paul is saying, walk by the Spirit. The command here is to be walking. It's not only that you are letting go and letting God. So we want to dismiss that because that's not it. Even though it is passive where he's saying here in the second one, led by the Spirit, you're being led by the Spirit. The first, he's saying it's both. First, walk by the Spirit. It's a command. You have to actually do something about it. But then at the same time, yes, you do yield to God. So there's this idea of You're not completely passive. You're working out your own salvation, knowing that it is God who's producing the work in you. Now, why is it important to walk or be led by the Spirit? This is a command with a promise. Look at this. This is so amazing. There are two reasons here in verse 16 and then verse 18. Number one, first reason, you get a promise of victory and obedience. Walk by the Spirit, Paul says, and you will not, the result is that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You get a promise of victory and obedience. The result is that you will not be fulfilling the fleshly desires that you have. The word gratify means to complete, to fulfill, to accomplish. It's this strong, you know, accompanied by the strong double negative term. You will never fulfill the desires of the flesh. So Paul here is saying, you will not definitely never carry out these fleshly desires if you are walking by the Spirit. This is an amazing promise from God to you this evening. God is calling you to walk by the Spirit. And then he says, if you will walk by the Spirit, you will not obey the lust of the flesh. You will not walk in this way. You will be guided by him, and he will lead you in the path of life. He will protect you. Now, in the second, you see, you are not moved away from being, you move away from being under the law. So the idea in verse 18 where Paul says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That whole idea of not being under the law's condemnation. You're not going to be charged for all your sins. Christ has forgiven us all. So you're not under the law's requirements in the sense of God's going to judge you based on that. No, you're now under grace. You're now under Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So Paul in this passage says, if you're walking by the Spirit in the freedom of the gospel, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, but instead, earlier he said, through love, you're going to be serving one another. You're going to be experiencing these fruit of the Spirit, and that's what we're going to study next time. You're going to produce the fruit of the Spirit, what the Spirit actually produces in each one of us when we walk by the Spirit. So here we see what it means to walk by the Spirit and why it's important. Now let's look at the lifelong experience. Second, the conflict, or our experience, the conflict. We must submit to the Holy Spirit because the battle is constant. This is our experience. The battle is constant. It's brutal. It's intense. It's never ending. See, the flesh and the Spirit are diametrically opposed to each other. Here we see that for the desires of the flesh, verse 17, are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So here we see all Christians face this dilemma, this decision, whether to live or follow the flesh or the Spirit. It's like this tug of war that we're constantly in the midst of, and you're just in the center of being tugged both each way. And it's, again, it's a battle that Paul's been talking about here, that the constant battle to move away from the gospel, to move away from the truth of Christ, from the freedom that he provided, to go back to slavery, to go back to elementary principles of the world. This is the idea of what Hagar and Sarah were, you know, that whole passage dealt with, where when Ishmael was there, there was no battle, but when Isaac came, then there was this strife, this enmity. This is the same idea. Paul's bringing up this matter, that there's this war going on. So do you fight against your flesh? Let me ask you. Do you fight against your flesh? The flesh is the word that describes the fallen nature, the sinful nature which inherited from Adam, which is driven by self-centeredness, the self, the I. All of us have this, that hates humility. Our flesh is like guerrilla force that attacks when you least expect it. It's constantly on the lookout to get you and to throw you down. Verse 17, flesh is fighting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. See, the Bible says that every true Christian has been born of the Holy Spirit. So we are all children of God. Those who are Christians, we are all children of God. But every true Christian also has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we are members of his body. We're members of one another. We have received the Spirit as a teacher. We have received his revelation. He opened our eyes to see the glories of Christ, and we ran to him. We're also indwelled by the presence of the Spirit forever. This is not like the Old Testament where the Spirit came and then was removed. No, now the Spirit abides with us forever, always. We're indwelled by his Spirit. We are also sealed by the Spirit of God. We have this assurance. But every Christian is also called to be filled with the Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit, but we're called to also be filled with the Spirit. See, if you don't have the Spirit, you're not a Christian. You could never be a Christian apart from the Spirit. It's one thing to have the Spirit, even if you're a Christian, but it's another to yield and to be filled with the Spirit constantly. That's what Ephesians 5 talks about, how you need to continually not get drunk with wine or different things that you could get influenced by, but no, be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit and let all those things come out of you, like singing, what we do here, prayer, singing, submitting to one another, deeds of love and kindness. When you walk by your selfish desires, you're grieving the Spirit. Think about that fact. It's just like a garden. I've been recently working in our garden, and it's crazy. If you don't take your garden seriously for a few months, you know, stuff grows everywhere, and the grass was so high at certain points, and there was weeds everywhere, and stumps, and all sorts of things, and that's how our life can easily become if you're not paying attention, if you're not fighting, continually walking out with that lawnmower or that sprayer. You know, try to taking out a stump. It's a lot of work, you know, to kill a tree or with its roots and all that stuff. It's hard work. And this is the idea that the Spirit is there for us to help when we walk by the Spirit. So we must understand how this battle is fought. There are those moments in every Christian experience when the wishing is present, but the doing is not. So this line is actually believers, when Paul says, believers may not do the things that they please or to keep you from doing things you want to do. It's a really hard line there's a lot of views on this, and believers might not do the things that they want to do. It's a tricky statement because Paul said that we will have victory in the Spirit, but now he's saying in this long battle with sin, you'll always have this tug of war. And what he's saying here, the Spirit is way stronger than the flesh. So if you hear anybody saying to you, yeah, but it's impossible for me to ever get freed from this or from that, and you're just saying, I don't know if I'll ever be free. If you're a true Christian, do you realize what you're saying? It's like you're saying, it is impossible for the Spirit of God, the God of the universe who lives inside of you, to conquer these things. No. What would be impossible is if you're dead in your sins, then it is impossible because there's no power, there's no hope. But if Christ, through the Spirit, now lives in you, you're able to fight your sin, you're able to overcome. So I believe Paul is saying, yes, you're going to be able to overcome this. But what he's talking about here, that on this side of heaven, we'll always have the battle to submit to the Spirit because of our flesh. We will never be perfect. We will constantly have this idea. Yes, I want to do what's right. I want to do what is good and glorify God with my body and my thoughts, my everything. And then at the same time, boom, your motive is a little bit crooked, and then you're just finding yourself constantly just kind of faltering and falling. And the idea is there is that you're not submitting fully to the Spirit of God, and you're not walking in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul even said about himself, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, Romans 7. So, but then he says, but thanks be to God. You know, thanks be to God that through Christ I could triumph. It's in him. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So therefore I can continue fighting. I continue persevering, continue looking forward, progressing in my Christian life. So the spirit often stops what our fleshly desires want, and the flesh often overrides the motives to follow the spirit. If you're a Christian, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Amen? So do you find the struggle within, brother and sister? Do you truly find the struggle within? Do you sense the struggle between the flesh and the spirit? If you do, rejoice. It's an amazing work of God that you actually have a battle within you. If you do not have that battle, oh, you should be sad. You should see that as a big problem. If you could just do whatever you want and there's no struggle, there's no battle, there's no even thinking about that you're grieving the spirit, well, there's something wrong. You don't know Christ. You're not in him yet. See, having bad desires is not the problem for all of us. It's what you do with those desires. Do you hate them? Do you hate your sin? Paul is saying there's going to be constantly this idea, the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are going to be against the flesh. So the solution for the battle, again, we must submit to the Holy Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's our solution, submitting, continually coming back to the Spirit, continually coming back to Christ in the gospel. Now, verse 18 is interesting. Paul saying, verse 18 shows us that if we submit and are led by the Spirit, we are not under the law, the curse of the law. We talked about this, the condemnation. We avoid judgment that comes from the breaking of the law. See, the law only deals with our attempt to control or our outward desires of the flesh. It's that dealing with that, you know, it only restrains us for those things. And we actually, the law exposes our sins, but the law also makes us even more, do more sin because of our evil nature. So it cannot help us. That's why the Apostle Paul was saying, don't try to live by the law. Don't try to just live by the law, just thinking I could fulfill things and I could do things on my own strength, by my own works. But no, Paul is saying the Spirit is the one who works from within, from the inside out. And then you get to the core issue, to the heart. It's when you read true Christians in the Bible, you see what they pray. Like David, when he failed, he prayed, against you and you alone I have sinned. Create in me a clean heart. It's all about the heart. It's all about, you know, whom I'm sinning against. So you're not really just thinking about, okay, is no one can see me, so therefore I'm good, and just trying to obey the laws externally. But no, it's all about on the inside. And the more you're growing in your Christian life, the more you'll see how sinful you are, how those thoughts, the little, you know, inclinations of the heart that needs to be rooted out, and you draw near to Christ more and more. And you see how amazing his love is to you. So the Spirit continually works within us. The Spirit always points us to Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. If you heard about the Spirit being taught, I know you have at this church, but there's a lot of teachings out there that the Spirit will do these wacky things with you. But the Bible clearly says the Spirit always points us to the glories of Christ. The Spirit always brings us back to the gospel. That's the work of the Spirit, to bring us to the Word of God so we would walk by the Spirit. We walk by faith. So ultimately what this is saying, again, Paul is not saying something else. He's again saying, if you walk by the Spirit, the idea there is you're living by faith. You're living by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. This is the best way to fight our flesh, is to, again, to live by faith, to live by faith in the Son of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you're so filled with the Spirit that you overflow with love towards others, your faith is working through love, and you serve one another. You don't have time for the flesh. You're just busy serving others. You're outward. You're being used by God for the benefit of others. This is what we were talking about this morning with Hebrews 13. So do you see how fierce this war is? Again, fighting battles, knowing that the war, ultimate war, is won. So we always fight with joy and with hope that Christ has won the war, even as we sang in that song, yet not I, but through Christ in me. So run to the gospel, brother and sister, by faith. In your battle, take an honest look at your life and see where you're at. Each time we take Lord's Supper, this is a great time to examine yourself. This is what you need to do. Who's winning? You should ask yourself, who's winning in this battle? The battle that Paul describes here. Do I continually carry out the evil desires of the flesh, or am I yielding to the Spirit? Am I continually, day by day, growing, repenting, turning to Christ, and finding victory in walking by the Spirit? Again, brothers, this is an amazing, brothers and sisters, this is an amazing promise. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not fulfill them. So in conclusion, I want to read a little quote by J.C. Ryle in his book, Holiness. I love this quote by him. He said, "We must take comfort about our souls if we know anything of inward fight and conflict. It is the invariable companion of a genuine holiness. Do we find in our heart of hearts a struggle? Do we feel anything of the flesh lusting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, so that we cannot do the things we would? Are we conscious of two principles within us contending for the master? Do you feel anything of war in our inward man? Well, let us thank God for it. It is a good sign. It is a strong, probable evidence of the great work of sanctification. Anything is better than apathy, stagnation, deadness, and indifference." End quote. May we be encouraged in our fight against sin as we live day by day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word and for these great truths that we learn from your scriptures. Father, may you teach us and may you help us to obey this command, to live by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit day by day, to progress, to grow, that we would not just take these things for granted, these promises, these awesome promises. You have given to us all things for life and godliness. You have provided for us the gospel so that we would live by it. And we thank you so much for your Spirit who works in us, who brings us back to the cross. Oh, Father, I pray for each one of us that we would continue to grow, to battle in this battlefield within, that we would battle knowing that Christ has won. Father, we also pray for those who are not saved, that you would please grant them life, open their eyes, help them to see that the life of the world is a life that is without you, the life without a battle, and that is very sad, and that is very easy. Father, I pray that you would help us all to see that Christian life is only possible because of the one who began a good work in us. In Christ's name, amen.